Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, as the month of Rajab is coming to its end, we are reminded of one very important event that had taken place in this blessed month, the month of Rajab, an invite that was given to our beloved Nabi, Hazrat-e Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this invite was exclusively for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other Nabi in their lifetime have been given this honor, that whilst they are alive, for them to go up in the heavens and to see whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Nabi to see. And so exclusively this maqam, this honor, is only given to Imamul Anbiya, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our scholars have mentioned that Mi'raj is the greatest miracle given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Quran. And this event actually was in a way to comfort and to console Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went to Ta'if and they rejected his message and they pelted him with stones. And then his beloved wife Bibi Khadija passed away, and then his uncle Abu Talib, who shielded him all the time, he also passed away. And so many things happened, occurred in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to uplift Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to show him his maqam, when he was returning back from Ta'if, a group of jinns accepted Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then thereafter also this event of Mi'raj had taken place. And so it comes in the books of Seerah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the night after Isha was resting at the house of Umme Hani, who was the daughter of Abu Talib. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came down. And with respect and honor, he touched the auspicious feet of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam to wake him up. And when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened his eyes, he saw Jibreel Amin. And with him was also Hazrat Mikail alayhi salatu wa salam. And he knew that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam would come down, it is something which is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they took him and they said that we want you to come with us to the masjid. And so they took him from the house of Hani to the masjid. When I say the masjid, it means Masjidul Haram, where the Kaaba is today. And they took him, it was in the night, where the Hatim is, that semicircle that you see, around one part of the Kaaba. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that if you can rest here, and then the chest of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was opened up. This was the second time. The first time was when he was very young and playing with his brothers, as in the children of Dai Halima. And when he was young at that time, the angels came and they opened up the chest, and one thing was removed from the inner section of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And ulama say that dot that was removed, that black dot, is what pushes an individual towards committing a sin, what we call desire. And so Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam are infallible, completely protected. They don't commit any sins. And so khair, here for the second time what was happening is that the inner organs were washed with the water of Zamzam. And inside the chest, this special noor that Jibreel Amin came down with was placed into the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is the wisdom for the second time the chest to be opened up of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Remember, this was completely pain-free. There was no pain. The surgeon was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. It was the command of Allah. Scholars have mentioned, this is to show the people of Iman that the Kaaba, Baytullah Sharif, is that venue that the closer you get to it, it will cleanse your heart. What will it do? It will cleanse your heart. It will purify your heart. That is why Allah's Nabi was taken from the house of Hani, and he was so close to the Kaaba that he was where the Hatim is. Hatim is part of the Kaaba. So the closer you are to the masjid, Masjidul Haram, because the Kaaba is that receptor that attracts the rahmat and the noor that descends. And that is why as mu'mineen and muslimin, we are required to do tawaf of the Kaaba, to walk around it. And this walking around releases the energy of rahmat to strengthen your iman. To strengthen your iman. A very simple example that our mashayikh have given, that you have seen your washing machine. When your clothes get dirty, what do? You put the clothes in the washing machine. And what does it do? It is spinning round. What is it? So every time it is spinning round, when you take your clothes out, what will happen? It's clean, mashallah. So you are also going round the Kaaba. And this way, the rahmat of Allah is attracted to you, and your iman becomes very, very strong. That is why our ulama have mentioned that people should frequently visit the Haramain al-Sharifain. They should frequently visit the Haramain al-Sharifain. And so many people, their lives change after Hajj, after Umrah. You see, mashallah, they were not performing Salah. When they come back, they are performing Salah. It is the powerhouse of Rahmat. And so that is why Subhanallah, this opening of the chest was done very close to the building to show that generally all of the masajids have the rahmat of Allah. But subhanallah, imagine Baytullah Sharif. So Baytullah Sharif is that exclusive venue. And number two, that special noor that was placed in the heart of Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, that Jibreel alayhi salam was given, is also to make sure that Allah's Nabi now is about to change his position from this dunya. He will be going straight into alame akhirat. Where will he be going? This is alame dunya. A human being can travel this way. The furthest he can go, north, south, east, west. And if he wants to go somewhere up, well, then he needs a rocket and he just goes up. And space is just space and he can just go wherever he can go, not too far. But he is still in alame dunya. He is still in alame dunya. And so there are three levels. One is alame dunya and one is alame akhirat, the heavens and the hereafter. And the in between is alame barzakh. And so for him to go and visit the heavens, some modification needs to be done to the body. Because one part of it is in dunya, and now as he is going to travel, subhanallah, a lot of noor was entered into the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the reason was that this Mi'raj is going to be the most important meeting in his life. This Mi'raj is the most important meeting in his life. No one in the creation of Allah has had this honor to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did he see and how he communicated? That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is mentioned. So this meeting was something that was very, very important. A lot of preparation was done. And Zamzam water, this again, Zamzam water was put into the heart of Huzur alayhi salam to remind us that this is another ni'mat that Allah has given this ummah. This water is connected to the rivers of Jannah. This water is connected to the rivers of Jannah. That is why when you drink Zamzam, there is shifa. So especially nowadays in COVID season, people are ill and a lot of things happen, subhanallah. You know, your kalunji, which is in the hadith, your honey, mashallah, your ajwa, and your zamzam water. You know, these are very important things that we should get into the habit of taking in. Inshallah, shifa is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so to show you that this is part of the city of Makkah Mukarrama, zamzam water. And khair, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this opening of the chest was done. Another very important mas'ala that we should look at is that this journey and the map of this journey was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, just from the house of Umm Hani, he would have taken Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But everything was planned. Everything starts from Masjidul Haram. As Allah says in the Quran, glory be to Allah, subhanallazi, asra, that in the night, bi'abdihi, he took his servant, laylam min al Masjidil Haram, from Masjidil Haram ila al Masjidil Aqsa, straight to Masjidil Aqsa. So the Isra is this first part of the journey, which is from Masjidul Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa. And remember, the Masjid Baytullah Sharif, the structure of that building is not what I would say that it is just a symbol of Qibla. What is it? A symbol of Qibla. But the entire location, the zone where the Kaaba is, from the ground floor until all the way up to the heavens, that is the Qibla. That is the Qibla. That is why the ulama take out one mas'ala, that the masjid remains a masjid all the time. Now imagine, they restricted Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from praying salah. There was no salah. Before Mi'raj, there was no salah. Allah's Nabi could not openly worship. And at that time, they had stored more than 300 idols in the Kaaba. But even then, Allah called this building masjid. What did He say? Min al-masjidil haram. Even though there were idols inside. Because the foundation of that building is upon the house of Allah. It is a masjid. So whatever you do, it remains a masjid until the day of Qiyamah. Right on the top. So one is Baytullah Sharif, the Kaaba. And one is Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur is the Kaaba for the Malaika. And you have heard that many times. But it is a good reminder, Alhamdulillah. So that we understand, Alhamdulillah, some of the important monuments that are there. And so Baytul Ma'mur is the Kaaba for Malaika. In the hadith it comes 70,000 Malaika do tawaf of Baytul Ma'mur, and that is it. After that an opportunity is not given to them. And so now the journey starts from Masjidul Haram, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is taken to Jerusalem, Al-Quds, where you have in Al-Quds Masjid-i-Aqsa. Now what is the wisdom for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to travel in the night from Masjidul Haram to Masjid-i-Aqsa? It's an amazing verse of the Quran that connects both of the masajid, Masjidul Haram and Masjid-i-Aqsa. The ulama have mentioned Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to Arz-e Quds, Jerusalem, because that is the land of the prophets. That is the land of the prophets. Nearly all of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have got their connection with Arz-e Quds, Al-Quds. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam. And so because it is the land of the prophets, the journey was marked as in for a person to go from Masjidul Haram and also to Masjid-e-Aqsa. Number two, and this is the most important point that the ulama have mentioned, that the Muslim Ummah need to value Masjid-e-Aqsa. The Muslim Ummah need to value Masjid-e-Aqsa. And that area and that zone belongs to the Mu'mineen and the Muslimin. Jerusalem belongs to the Mu'mineen and the Muslimin. And so of course now there is a lot of struggle there. But throughout history, a lot of changes have occurred. A lot of changes have occurred. And we won't go into that because then this is a very long topic and we will divert from our subject. And number three, the reason why Allah's Nabi went to Arz-e Quds is to increase the honor of Arz-e Quds. Because the greatest Nabi went to Arz-e Quds, and this increases the barakat of that land. So for an example, if we were to say that, Alhamdulillah, you know what? You know, we were honored that the Imam of Masjid-e-Nabwi came to Masjid-e-Umar. How would we feel? We would feel honorable, wouldn't we? We would say, MashaAllah, you know, Masjid-e-Umar mein Imam-e-Haram aaye. And Alhamdulillah, the Imam of Haram did come for the opening of Masjid-e-Umar. So for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go to Arz-e Quds, this is to increase the barakat and the honor of that area, Arz Quds. And then thereafter, the ulama have mentioned that traveling to Masjid-e-Aqsa was also a reason for da'wah to the mushrikeen of Makkah. It was a reason for da'wah to the mushrikeen of Makkah. How? Mushrikeen of Makkah, they knew Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they knew for a fact that Allah's Nabi has never traveled to Jerusalem. He has never seen Arz-e Quds. He's never been to Masjid-e-Aqsa. He's not seen that part. So it was a moment for Allah's Nabi to open up to them and to challenge the people, to invite them towards the truth. And so we don't see one mu'ajizah, we see so many miracles in this one mu'ajizah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Coincidentally, what had happened is that when everything ended, this Mi'raj ended, Abu Jahl, who was always after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he would plot and plan and see wherever Allah's Nabi was, where he was meeting, what he would be doing in the night during the day. And so in the night he was passing by and he saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how is your night?" What did he say coincidentally? How is your night? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "It's an extraordinary night. In this night I went to Masjid-e-Aqsa, I went for Mi'raj, I saw everything." Abu Jahl was a very cunning man. He did not reject and he did not accept. And he says, "Oh." Now he wanted to obviously make masti and mockery out of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, "Okay, what you have told me, now let me call other people and see what they say." And so now what he wanted is for the people to understand that what he is saying is impossible, that within a few seconds a man can travel so much. Never mind going to the heavens just for him to say, "I traveled from Makkah Mukarrama to Jerusalem," even that is impossible. So he went and he invited everybody and people started to come. And he says, "Have you heard Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he is saying?" And he said that within a few seconds in the night, he visited Jerusalem and he saw Masjid-e-Aqsa. Now these were travelers, the people of Makkah, who did a lot of business in Syria. So they would travel, they would go to Sham. And so they started asking Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam funny questions. It's like somebody asks me, "Oh, Mawlvi Sahib, you're the Imam of Masjid Umar." I said, "Yeah, inshallah." "Okay, how many doors are there in Masjid Umar?" "I have not counted how many doors there are." "Now you start telling me that how many windows are there in Masjid Umar? How many musallas are there in Masjid Umar?" "I have not counted that." So they said to him, "Okay, if you have seen Masjid-e-Aqsa, tell us how many gates are there to Masjid-e-Aqsa? How many pillars are there to Masjid-e-Aqsa? And how many windows are there in the Haram?" And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is in the hadith, that again another mu'ajiza was given. Another mu'ajiza was given that the entire masjid was uprooted, taken out and put in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, "Tell me whatever you want to know." Abu Jahl thought that he will do masti of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but people are going to laugh at him. So he said, "The gates are here. There is one gate here, there is one gate here. There are so many pillars inside, inside so many pillars in the courtyard. You can see this. And then the windows on one side, the windows on the other side." Everything was described, and the people who've seen the masjid and have been there, they said to Abu Jahl that, "Abu Jahl, you are embarrassing yourself now." So Abu Jahl said, "Okay, If you are giving the right answers, I know for a fact that a caravan went for trade and it is returning back from Quds and it is coming back. So, O Muhammad, tell me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when will this caravan enter Makkah Mukarramah? And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them an answer that within 3 days, that 3 days won't end and the caravan will be in Makkah Mukarramah. And all of them decided that if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us the truth, we will see if the caravan actually comes. And the caravan came. And so there are many reasons why Arz-e Quds was also selected. And remember, there was no technology at that time. And for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak in that manner, if they could win Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq to their side, this was considered a great victory. If they could win Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, a delegation came to him and said, your best friend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he went to Aqsa, he went to Al-Quds, and even before going to Al-Quds, he has seen all of these things. And then he went up to the heavens. How is this possible? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an said that if Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this, I believe it and that is my iman, because I already believe in whatever he tells me that has been revealed to him already in the form of Quran. So this is nothing for me. And this was the iman of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, that they believed everything what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them. And so that is why Mi'raj and Isra, the first part of the journey is from Masjidul Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa. Now, the travel from Masjidul Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also shown Medina Munawwara, Yathrib. And a lot of date trees. Jibreel Amin said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is your Darul Hijra. This is the city where you will migrate. In another narration it comes, Allah's Nabi stopped there in Medina and he performed 2 rakats. He was also shown Madian, where Shu'ayb alayhi salatu was salam was. He was shown the valley of Sina, that blessed valley in which Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam was given the command that remove your sandals and do atikaf, and the kalam that he did with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he is known as Kalimullah. That zone was shown to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is amazing, the third miracle of Huzur alayhi salatu was salam is that he stopped at an area and he was shown the qabr of Musa alayhi salam. And when he saw the qabr of Musa alayhi salatu was salam, this is in Alam-e-Barzakh. Alam-e-Barzakh. And he saw Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam in Barzakh, that he was standing and performing salah. And this is also mentioned in Muslim Sharif. And so these are the things that were shown to him whilst he was traveling to Masjid-i-Aqsa. And then he was shown also that area where Hazrat Isa alayhi salat was salam was born. Where he was born. Baytul Laham. And in English they call that location Bethlehem. They call it Bethlehem. In Arabic you call it Baytul Laham. And then when he got to Masjid-e-Aqsa, mashallah, there was a lot of noor there. Like an ijtima'. Like an ijtima, as if, you know, a great community of people was awaiting for someone to come, the main person for him to come. And it is said that this was again the mu'jiza of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every single Nabi came and he stood and was waiting for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with body and soul in Masjid Aqsa. Perhaps the only masjid in the world that has got this virtue. That from Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam, nobody actually knows the numbers of how many prophets have come in this dunya, but every single Nabi was stationed in that one location awaiting for the Nabi to come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why this honor was given? Because this was the desire of every Nabi to meet with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's dua was accepted. He says, I want to be an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. His dua was accepted. But how is it possible for every Nabi to be part of this great Nabi? And so out of honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited all of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam to be there in Masjid-i-Aqsa. And when he came to Masjid-i-Aqsa, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the first saf. Ibrahim alayhi salam is there, Nuh alayhi salam is there, Adam alayhi salam is there, all of the elite prophets are there, Musa alayhi salam is there. Allah's Nabi saw them and he sat on one side. And in some narrations it comes that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam put like a mat to let everyone know that somebody is going to come forward to perform salah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was thinking that this honor can only be given either to my father Ibrahim alayhi salam or the father of all human beings, Adam alayhi salam. And so then what had happened, alhamdulillah, we know Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, holding his hand, and said that you have to come forward and lead the congregation of salah. Can you imagine how this salah must have been? How this salah must have been? And that is why, alhamdulillah, we should have this desire to visit Masjid-i-Aqsa. We should not fear and we should not get scared by death comes anyway. If it's written there, death, then you are dying in the most blessed location, Arz-e Quds. And so sometimes there is this fear, nothing happens, my respected brothers. We should try it all the time, like how we are visiting the Haram and we do Umrah all the time. We as an Ummah should make it a habit to do and start our Umrah from Masjid Aqsa and put on your Ihram and go back. And visit this Haram also. This Haram, Masjid Aqsa, is a very important location. And brothers who've been to Masjid Aqsa, subhanallah, when you're in Masjid Aqsa, the sakina, the sukoon, the barakat is out of the world. It is something that you can't even describe. There is so much sukoon in that area. So much sukoon, subhanallah. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, they were the muqtadi and Allah's Nabi was the imam. That is why this title is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is Imamul Anbiya. What is he? Imamul Anbiya. That he is the imam of all the prophets that came. Imagine the lofty status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and imagine how fortunate we are that we are the ummati of Imamul Anbiya, the one who has been given this honor. Allah give us the tawfiq. And so this is the first part of the Isra, the travel from Masjid-i-Haram to Masjid-i-Aqsa. The second part is Mi'raj. The second part is Mi'raj. The first travel is Isra. The second part is Mi'raj. Uruj, Uruj, Mi'raj. Uruj in the Arabic language means to ascend or to climb up. To climb up. Now here, things change. Now let me just explain How did Allah's Nabi travel from Masjid Haram to Masjid Aqsa? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for him this transportation was prepared. This very beautiful, beautiful creation of Allah from Jannah came down. Now obviously in the modern world you have beautiful cars and this car and that car. But in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the only way to travel for people was on horses, camels. That is how they would travel. And so this beautiful, beautiful buraq, we can't even describe it. You know, this beautiful white horse with wings of noor, something very beautiful. Wallahu alam, only Allah and the angels know how this buraq is. You know, people have described it, but only Allah knows. But something that is to make Huzur alayhi salam very comfortable. So why was buraq prepared for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? If Allah wanted, Sulaiman alayhi salam had control of the winds would have taken Allah's Nabi anyway. Or Allah's Nabi directly would fly up, just like Jibreel comes up and down, and what the malaika do. This is to show respect and honor. You have seen in this world, my respected brothers, that when you have world leaders that are traveling, you have this entourage of people, police and security and guards that are in the front, police on their motorbikes, and then you've got so many cars that are in the front and cars at the back, and then the main person is in the middle, protected, roads are closed and shut and everything is closed, and a very important person is traveling. And so to give that honor to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this most beautiful transportation was arranged in the form of buraq. And buraq means the speed of lights, the speed of very fast. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat on it, and on the sides Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam. What an honor. And with Allah knows how many malaika there were. So that first journey ends at Masjid Aqsa when he has done imamat. Now the second part is not with the buraq. The second part, to give an example, is some form of an elevator. Some form of an elevator. Wallahu alam. But that elevator was very special. Allah's Nabi went inside it. Jibreel and Mikael. And this elevator, the speed of it cannot be calculated because time stops. Time dilation, time stops. The speed of it was such that Allah's Nabi just went so fast. You know, if you think of the fastest elevators in the world, I was reading somewhere, it was the Japanese who built this elevator, and there's a hotel on the 95th floor. So from the first floor to the 95th floor, it takes 42 seconds. How many seconds? Just for the people to get to their rooms in the hotel. 95th floor is where the hotel is. From the ground floor to the 95th floor, 42 seconds. That's how fast it goes. So this is insan. Imagine how Allah must have prepared. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came into something which we know as Mi'raj only, something that uplifted. Allah's Nabi ascended and he went up very fast. And that is where time ends. And when he got to the top at the first heaven, the doors were closed. And it was that gate which was selected for Huzur alayhi salam to come through. But the doors were closed. Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam knocked. And the malaika said, "Who is it?" So he said, "Jibreel, are you alone?" "No, with me is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Immediately the door was opened. With honor and respect, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered in the first heaven, the first asman, as we say. Now, why was the gates locked and sealed? This is to tell us that the heavens are securely guarded. What is it? Nothing can get into the heavens without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That part is completely closed. Nothing can happen. Even the boundaries, a human being, you can have your rocket, whatever you have, you can't go and you can't pierce the heavens. And so everything is closed. There, the first heavens, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with who? Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Who did he see? He saw Hazrat Adam alayhi salam in dunya also, to show people that he is Imamul Anbiya. And the messengers wanted to have a connection with Rasulullah in dunya, whilst he is breathing. The time did not stop. Time did not stop. Now in the heavens, it is a different part of the world. So Adam alayhi salatu was salam was there. He saw Adam alayhi salam. He greeted Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam greeted him by saying that, my son, barakat to you also. Now you see, in schools they teach you that, oh, you know, human beings were something like fishes, then they came out and they became something like crocodiles, and then subhanallah, they changed and changed and changed and changed, and they stood up and they became this and they became that, and some man in Africa, and then we became human beings. This is the foolish world we live in, foolish world. And the foolish of this ummah can be deceived by shaitan. Be careful. You have people who use the English language in such a way that, you know, they will fool you by saying, this happened, evolution, this, that. Arey bhai, Allah showed him Adam alayhi salam so that he could tell human beings that the first man and your father and how Adam was created, that is also mentioned. And the first person to see is Adam alayhi salam. And don't, you know, drop yourself at such a level. You know, you have karama. Allah has given you honor. And you are not from monkeys and apes. Astaghfirullah. You are a human being. Allah gave you karamat. So anyway, he saw Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam being the father. So here we see, ikram was shown to the father first. So the first person he meets is who? Father. And then he goes to the second heavens. Remember, he has been accompanied with Jibreel alayhi salam all the way. Jibreel alayhi salam takes him to the second heavens, and there he meets with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was ashik of Rasul sallallahu alayhi. He loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ashik. That is why he also will be part of this ummah. So there, Isa alayhi salatu was salam was in the second heavens. Why? Because he is the only person to whom death has not come. And he will come down from the heavens down. And he is there with his cousin, Hazrat Yahya alayhi salam. He is there with his cousin Yahya. Then he was taken to the third heavens. There, handsome Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was shown to Allah's Nabi, because the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Yusuf alayhi salam is similar, that there was a lot of hardship. There's a lot of hardship that Yusuf alayhi salam faced and Allah's Nabi faced. And Allah's Nabi met with Yusuf alayhi salam to show, like how Yusuf alayhi salam became the king, you will become the greatest king. You will become the greatest king. And so Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam he met. And then fourth heavens, he met who? Hazrat Idris alayhi salam. Idris alayhi salam is that Nabi who was the first person to officially form written documents. To form written documents. And this was to show that Allah's Nabi will also give dawah by a letter that he will send to the kings of the people at that time. Idris alayhi salam he met. And then, which heaven are we in now? The fifth. Then he met Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. He met Harun alayhi salam, sixth heaven. He met Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He met Musa alayhi salam. And then the seventh heaven, that is right on the top. So the first way, one father is, and at the top there is the other father. There is the other father. And that is Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was reclining towards Baytul Ma'mur, and there was a lot of children that were playing around him, and he was also playing with the children. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked Jibreel, a lot of beautiful children. He said, these are the children of your ummah, the children who have died before puberty. The children that have died before puberty. And they are waiting for their parents to meet them on the day of Qiyamah and to take the parents with them to Jannah. This is another basharat given to this ummah, that even if people here have had children and who have passed away, this is na'mah. Can you imagine what a na'mah it is? Sometimes we cry that my child passed away. But if your child passed away, subhanallah, before bulugh, this is a ticket for you for Jannah. Ticket for you for Jannah. And so they are waiting and they are at the moment playing with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was amazed to meet Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And imagine how much love the prophets had for this ummah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam gave Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam the salam for his ummah. So can we all say, wa alaykum salam, wa alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam gave salam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, give my salam to your ummah and tell them that Jannat, one part of Jannat is uncultivated. Hey bhai, don't record without the permission of anybody, please. Is uncultivated. And so what happens is that by saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and doing tasbihat, you are investing in your Jannah. So you will be given a plot, a land. So your private land and plots are given to you. Every time you are doing the tasbih of Allah, that means you take ownership of that Jannah. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for this. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shown Baytul Ma'mur, the Kaaba for the Malaika, and he performed salah there, and he also had witnessed how the angels do tawaf of the Kaaba, and then he was also taken to Sidratil Muntaha. Sidratil Muntaha is the furthest boundary, right on the top, and indaha Jannatul Ma'wa, and close to Sidratil Muntaha, Jibreel alayhi salam accompanied him and showed him everything. Close to him, close to Sidratil Muntaha is Jannah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shown Jannat, and he entered Jannah. And he entered Jannah, shown Jannah. And then also he was shown Jahannam. That is why Allah's Nabi has said that a man who feels that he has had the greatest suffering in this dunya, and there is no one that has suffered like anyone, there is no one in this world that has suffered like him, if for 1 second, if he was dipped in Jannah, 1 second dipped in and out, and if you ask him, have you ever felt pain? He'll say, what is pain? I don't know. Subhanallah. That is Jannah. And Jahannam, a person who's had the best life in this dunya, if he was dipped in Jannah for less than 1 second and he's pulled out again, he will say, I don't even know what it means to laugh or to smile. I have never seen anything that can make me happy in my life besides pain. Allah give us all Jannah. Ameen. Bole Ameen. We alone, alhamdulillah, already have Iman. And to come in the house of Allah, this means that Allah loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Now we have to look after our Iman. And the one thing we do is to be regular with our salah. So khair, he saw Jannah, he saw Jahannam. Why Jannat and Jahannam were shown? Because there are many people today in the world that say, oh, we haven't seen paradise. Arabi, you haven't seen paradise, but the most truthful, the most trusted, the greatest Nabi is giving you information and he has told you there is paradise. And how can Allah show you paradise when Allah is saying that I have created you to test you? I have created you to test you. When you are being tested, is the teacher, the mumtahin, going to give you the answers? No, you don't know the answers. So this is a test. And it is all about iman, to bring faith. And this is a ni'mah. So Allah's Nabi described Jannah. Allah's Nabi described Jannah. He was actually shown the Hura'een. The Hura'een came to him and they made salam to him. Subhanallah. And he was shown Jahannam also. And he was shown the person who is in charge of Jahannam, the angels, whose name is also Malik. He has seen everything there. And then from there, subhanallah, there is also in the books of tariq and history that he heard the screeching sound of the pen. The screeching sound of the pen. Sariful aqlam, as it comes. And the pen, the special pen that is writing by the command of Allah. And it is doing its duty and it is writing everything. And this is symbolic to understanding that taqdeer, your fate, is in the knowledge of Allah, and Allah knows everything, and everything has been recorded and everything is registered. And Allah's Nabi could hear that sound of the pen that was writing everything by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last part is where, subhanallah, this entire journey that was prepared for him, the invite, where he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, we will continue with this in the next session. If Allah wills, it is quite late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Insha'Allah, that we become proud Muslims and that we never ever doubt what Allah and His Rasul has said, and that we practice upon our deen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Ya Allah, so many people have come to your beautiful house. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we are sinful people. Ya Allah, we admit we are sinful people. Allah, you are the one who is most forgiving. Allah, forgive all of our sins, Ya Allah. The sins of our parents, the sins of our progeny, our children, our family members, our loved ones. Allah, it is farz for us to do tawbah. Allah, cleanse our heart and make our hearts pure, Ya Allah. Allah, make our life with afiyat and with comfort and ease. Allah, the blessings that you have given us, how easy it is for you to take away the blessings. Allah, we know of so many people that were going to the gym, that were fit and healthy, are breathing their last and are in ICU room. Ya Allah, that is how you can change and transform. Allah, Ya Allah, give us good health. Allah, give us good health. Allah, give us afiyat. Allah, be pleased with us. Allah, give us the best death, Ya Allah. Allah, show us many months of Ramadan to come. Allah, make us rich in this dunya and in the hereafter. Allah, make us the recipient of this beautiful verse of the Quran. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Allah, protect our progeny, our children. Ya Allah, our boys and our girls. Ya Allah, we are living in the days of fitna, Ya Allah. We are living in the days of technology that is eating away our iman. Allah, we don't value time. Ya Allah, protect us, Allah. Open our hearts, Ya Allah. Our hearts have been sealed and locked. Ya Allah, we beg you. The only key is your order, Ya Allah. If you decide, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, kun fayakun, you have every power. Ya Allah, you can make us the best of the best. Allah, make us the best of the best. Allah, make us the best of the best. Allah, everybody sitting here, we all have, Ya Allah, our wishes. Ya Allah, and everything that is jais, Ya Allah, accept all our prayers, accept all our tamanna. Allah, those that are ill, give them shifa. Allah, Allah, save us from the calamity of this dunya and the hereafter, and the fitna of the qabr, Ya Allah. Allah, let us love you, and let us love your Nabi, and let us love the Quran and the Sunnah. And Ya Allah, open the doors of Iman and Islam in this beautiful country. Ya Allah, open Iman and Islam everywhere in Europe. Ya Allah, and all the Muslim countries, Ya Allah, make them people of taqwa. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.